I love Trisha. I love Trisha. She does such a, brings such life to our church. Good morning. Good morning. Let me start with a question. Does what you do, does how you live your life, in the end, does it really matter? Does it really matter how what you do and how you live your life? Well, my wife, Dale, she's already getting ready, gearing up for Hallmark's Countdown to Christmas, which starts next week. It already starting next weekend, Countdown to Christmas. So when you think, so it's not too early to think about Christmas. It's only a little over 2 months away. So when you think about Christmas, what's your favorite Christmas movie? Turn to your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, what's your favorite Christmas movie? All right. All right. Well, my favorite, hands down. Wow. Wow, people want to talk about, they're already getting in the mood. Hallmark's got us brainwashed. We're already getting in the mood. Okay, all right. All right, all right. So my favorite Christmas movie, hands down, It's a Wonderful Life. It's a Wonderful Life, or Die Hard, or Die Hard. I know there's a big debate, controversy over whether Die Hard's a real Christmas movie. But, you know, really, really, I love It's a Wonderful Life. And it answers the key question, does what I do matter? Does what I do really make a difference? Does how I live really have an impact? And the answer, according to that movie, the answer is yes. It makes a huge difference. It matters. What you do, how you live your life, it matters. It matters. You know, our children's director, Stephanie, I was talking with her the other day, and she was sharing with me that her three-year-old daughter, Brinley, just started preschool. She just started preschool, and then she said, it's really funny, it's really interesting, because after preschool, right, Tim, at her Brinley's preschool, they make this big deal about whether the kids are making green choices or red choices, right? Green choices. And Steph was telling me, she was talking to Brindley, and she came home from school, and then she was talking about making green choices. She said, Brindley, did you make green choices? Yes, I made green choices today. Are there some kids that make red choices? She said, yeah, who? And she named some certain boys. So and so, red choices, red choices. In fact, she was telling me about, Stephanie was trying to use it at home. Brindley, okay, are we making green choices? And she said, no, I only do that at school, right? But you know what? Making green choices and red choices in life, it matters to adults too. Are you in your life making green choices or making red choices? Well, as we continue in our series in 1 John, Knowing God, Light, and Love, in chapter 3, which we're going to get into, in chapter 3 of 1 John, he emphasizes the importance of the choices we make in life, how significant they are, because your actions, your choices, and your actions indicate who's your daddy. Who's your daddy? You know, right back decade, there was this whole thing about who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? The choices you make, the actions that you reveal in your life indicate who your daddy is. Who your daddy is. And so we're going to look at 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. And the first section of 1 John, the first three verses, basically they address the who. They address the who question. Who you are. who you are, especially who you are as a believer in Christ. The second half, verses 4 through 10, they cover the how we live and behave in our lives as a result of who we are. And according to 1 John and according to John the author, it matters. It really matters. Okay, so let's take a look. Let's look at 1 John chapter 3. I think it's going to be on the screen. Verses 1 through 3. I'm going to read that section and then we'll get into it. I love this opening. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. That's Jesus. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. I love this opening, this first verse. He says, how great a love the Father has bestowed on us. This idea of how great, it's actually the quality of the love he has shown us. The quality of the love through Jesus that he has bestowed, gifted to us, that we are called his children. And not just called his children, it says we are. We are his children. His great love, the great love of God, has produced his very own kids. For anyone who accepts Jesus, to all who receive Jesus, to all who believe in his name, John 1:12, he gave the right to become children of God. A very own child of God, where God becomes our very own Father. And it's not just called, you are. You are a child of God. It's a fact. It's a truth. It's a spiritual reality that you are God's child. It's not wishful thinking. It's the truth of who you are in Christ. You're a child more than the child of your earthly biological father. More real than that. Greater than that. You were a child of the King of Kings, the God of all creation, the God of the universe. That's who you are. Let's pause for a minute. If you are a believer, who's your daddy? Really, who is your truth? Spiritual, who's your daddy? Who's really your father? And what does it mean that the Almighty God is your very own father? You're not just called a child, just not hope and wishful thinking. You are his daughter, you are his son. You belong to him, and he's your dad. You know, growing up, I remember, and this was growing up watching TV shows, and this was at a time when dads were respected. These days, dads, they're always set up as the goofy man that's somewhere in the background around, like the Simpsons, or, you know, the dads are portrayed. Back then, right, when we watched TV shows, right, dads were respected. And invariably, you'd always have this scene where there's kids, like they're on the playground, and they get in an argument, and then they start saying, I'm going to call my dad. Then the other boy, I'm going to call my dad. Well, my dad's stronger than your dad. No, my dad's strong. My dad's smarter than your dad. No, my dad's, and they get into this whole argument. Look at this t-shirt. My dad is stronger than your dad. We'd see that. There'd be different scenes all the time where kids would get into this. Who's your daddy? Do you genuinely, in your heart of hearts, believe God's my daddy? If that is true, if that's what's in your heart, how strong is your daddy? How smart is your daddy? How powerful is your daddy? If you got into an argument with someone else and you said, I'm going to call my daddy, how much confidence does that give you to truly believe in your heart, no, God, the King of Kings, he's my daddy. He's my daddy. It's so important to know that truth, not just here, here, to the depth of your being, to the depth of your soul. Because if you know that, no matter what you go through, no matter what circumstances you are facing, no matter what trials you are dealing with, you can always know who your daddy is. Who your daddy is. And that'll always give you strength, hope, future. But John says, the world doesn't know their daddy. The world did not know him, did not know Jesus, and did not recognize him. Verse 2, beloved, we are children of God. Yes, amen. We are God's children. And it has not yet appeared. Oh, let me go back. Sorry. I'm on verse 1, the end. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. So the world did not recognize Jesus. Because they didn't recognize Jesus, they don't know the Father. So when I thought about this, I thought, they don't know the Father. They don't recognize him. He's not their daddy. Then we should not expect the world to act according to Bible standards. We should not be shocked when they do not act according to the ways of God, because he's not their father. He doesn't know, they don't know him. And we should not expect them to behave that way. Okay, now let's go on to verse 2. Sorry. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is. Although we are God's children, the fullness, the full realization of who we are as God's children, we will not experience until Jesus returns, which means we are a work in progress. If you're a parent, you know that. Your kids are a work in progress. There's maturity. There's growth that needs to take place. There's discipline that needs to happen, right? In all ways. In the same way, we are God's children. We have a future. We have a destiny in mind that he has laid out for us. But we will not fully be who he created us to be until Jesus physically returns. And when Jesus physically returns in his second coming, which seems like it's getting closer and closer, for all the world to see Jesus, he says, at that time, we will be transformed into his, Jesus' very likeness. That's the Father's ultimate goal for you as his child. That his image, the image of God, will be fully restored in you. And that you will represent your Father in His glory. In His glory. His image will be fully restored, and we will be like Jesus. We will be like Jesus. You know, we've talked a lot about this. In fact, I know many small groups have gone through different seasons of The Chosen. I really like The Chosen. I really like The Chosen. In fact, our small group, we were really, this one small group I'm in, we were really looking forward to it, and we didn't want to wait till it comes out, so we went to the theater, and we watched the full season 5 in the theaters. And you know, one of the reasons why I really like The Chosen is because of the way that show portrays Jesus. Because when I see Jesus, how they portray Him in the Chosen, in my spirit, I recognize Him. I say, yes, that's the Jesus I know. That's the Jesus I know. And you know, one of the things I thought about how they portray Jesus, when I watch it, I actually feel like, not so much Jonathan Rumi, right, the actor that plays Jesus, but when I watch it, I feel like I encounter the actual spirit of Jesus portrayed through the show. And you know what my reaction is when I watch Jesus on The Chosen? Man, Jesus is the coolest guy ever. You think, Jesus is super cool. I want to hang out with Him. I want to follow Him. I want to be like Him because He's so cool, right? He's so strong, and He's full of truth, and yet He's so compassionate. He's so loving. He's so caring. He's just an awesome guy. He's an awesome guy. That's God's future. That's your destiny as a child of God. To be just like Jesus, not Jonathan Rumi. Just like the real Jesus. That's your future. You know, because Jesus is in you, the Spirit of Jesus is in you, all of creation is drawn to you. Because the angels, all of creation, they could see Jesus in you. And all of creation recognizes, man, Jesus is the most awesome person, the Son of God, the Lord of Lords that ever existed. That's who you are. That's God's plan for you. And He wants you and I to start experiencing that now. Not wait till He physically returns. Now. He wants you to start experiencing what it is to live out who you really are as a child of God. Verse 3. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him, fixed on Jesus, purifies himself just as He is pure. God wants us to partner with Him in becoming more and more like His Son. It's very interesting to me that in this verse, you notice it says, purifies Himself. That means we have a role to play in our own purification, in our own becoming like Christ. God has done the tough stuff.
God has done the foundational work. God has made us pure, holy, blameless, righteous, justified in Christ through the blood of Jesus, through his death and resurrection. He has wiped the slate clean. He has forgiven you all your sins. He has put you into relationship with God that cannot be broken. He has made you a son or daughter, a prince or princess of the king. He has done it. He has finished it. That's sealed in who you are in your spirit. But he wants you and I to experience that in our life now. And that requires us to make choices to partner with him. That's why it says purifies himself. We purify ourselves. We have a role in our own purification. You know, Pastor Chris Valentin, he's a pastor at Bethel Church. He tells a story of when they adopted a youth named Eddie, a teenage kid named Eddie. Chris Valentin and his wife, they're involved in really having a ministry to the fatherless. And so as they're ministering to the fatherless, there's this one trouble. And this kid, Eddie, he grew up with a rough childhood. Basically, he grew up with a single mom who was a drug addict. So he had to raise himself, basically. He basically had to raise himself, and he struggled just to meet his basic needs, food, shelter, etc., because his mom was absentee so often. And so they ended up becoming custodians of Eddie and adopting Eddie into their home. So they brought him into their home. They have three older kids, so they brought him into their home. And they started noticing, even though they made him their very own son, even though he lived in the house, he had shelter, he had all the food he wanted, they noticed that when they would eat at the dinner table, like when the bowl was getting passed around and it was like just half empty, he would load his plate up to the full because he wasn't used to having all the food he wanted or needed. And then they noticed that what he didn't think they were looking, he would take food off the plate and put it in his napkin and hide it and take it to his room to eat later. And they said it took him a while because even though we had adopted him, even though he was part of our family, he still had an orphan poverty mentality. And so even though his circumstances had changed dramatically, he still had to get accustomed to, and it took him a while to understand, I could eat as much as I want. Food is always available. I have a loving family around me. Even though God has made us holy and pure, that's your identity. That's what he sees when he looks at you, because he always looks at you in Jesus. So the way God looks at you, the way God treats you, is as if and you are his very own child. Just as he would think about Jesus, that's how he thinks about you. But for some of us, we're used to having a poverty mentality, to feel like we're orphans. We're not used to have such a good and loving father, to being his very own child. And so because of that, we start becoming content with living like a sinful, addictive lifestyle. We start thinking, oh, it doesn't matter how I live. Oh, the things I do, that's okay. Or we make excuses We don't address things. We ignore things. We still act like orphans. We don't live who we really are. Who's your daddy? Who do you really believe your daddy is? Your daddy is Father God. What is he like? What is your real father like? What does he think about you? When he looks at you, how does he feel about you? What does he want for you? That's so foundational. Who do you think your dad is? What's he like? How does he see you? How does he feel about you? How does he treat you? What does he want for your life? What does he want? In the next section, John shifts. So all that first section, verse 1-3, he talks about who you are. Who you are. Who's your real daddy? Whose child are you really? So he goes over that, and then he shifts, verses 4-10. Basically, John says, don't be deceived. Don't be fooled by the lies of, as we've talked about, the Gnostics. The Gnostics were a group that were internally, had infiltrated, were part of the church, but they had started teaching false teachings. One of the big things they started teaching was, we know who we are in the spirit. We're holy and blameless. Our physical bodies, they're evil. This whole world is evil. So, because of that, it doesn't matter how we live. It doesn't matter if you sin in the body, because we're holy and blameless in our spirit. It doesn't matter how you live. John says, no, wrong, false. That teaching will be destructive. And John goes after them hard, because that kind of thinking does not reflect an understanding of who your dad is. And so John goes into this whole section of addressing this, addressing who you are, child of God. Because of that, because of who your daddy is, this is how you should live. And this is how he wants you to behave and act. Okay, so let's go next section, verses 4-6. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has seen him or knows him. When you go to some countries, I've been to a lot of countries in the world, and when you go to certain countries, you can really see the difference between a country that is under and abides by the rule of law, and a country that kind of sees laws as just suggestions. Right? One example is in the traffic laws, the obeying and not obeying of the traffic. I grabbed this picture because I've actually been at this circle. I've actually driven through that. That's in Nairobi, Kenya. When you drive in some of these countries, when we drove in Kenya, it's crazy. It's crazy. Like literally, you really see people think of a red light as a suggestion. People think that the lines that separate the lanes are just like, you might want to stay in this side, because people are going all over the place at times. People are driving on the side of the road to pass people. People are like, it's crazy. And you know what? it feels chaotic, and it's kind of scary. It's like wild when you're in different certain countries. Although things in the United States are deteriorating, you could really see from the founding of this country, it was a country that follows rule of law. So when you go to this country and you come back to the United States, you're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. When people come to a red light, they actually stop, right? People stay in their lanes, right? It's like, and you really see the difference. Because when people are following the law, they're aligned with the law. You have peace. You have order. You have safety. You have life. It says in this passage, sin is lawlessness. Sin is disobedience to God's spiritual laws. And that leads to the opposite: unrest, anxiousness, guilt, chaos, danger, death. If you're experiencing some of that in your life, it could be because of sin that's persisting in your life. You feel tension. You feel a disconnect between who God made you to be, who you are in your spirit, and how you're living your life. It's not matching up. So you feel tension, you feel chaos, you feel guilt, you feel anxious, you feel stress. This passage says, verse 5, you know that he appeared in order to take away sin. Jesus came to take sin away, to free us from the bondage, the slavery of sin. And it says, in Jesus, in him, there is no sin. When you receive Jesus Christ, it says Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, came into you. But the Bible also says that you and I were put where? In Jesus. I don't know how that works. I don't know how that actually works, but that's the truth of the word. It says Jesus came to live in us, and we were put in Christ. We were put in Christ, and in Christ what? No sin. So if we in our lives are and have sin to that extent, even though you are in Christ, if you have sin, you're not booted out of Christ. But if you have sin, even though you are in Christ, you might feel disconnected from Jesus, from the Father, in those areas of your sin. Those areas of your sin. It keeps us from experiencing fellowship, oneness from Jesus. And it says in verse 6, no one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has seen him or knows him. If we're not willing to address sin, it's a sign and it questions how much we truly know God. How much do we truly know? How much truly have we seen God? Because that's contrary to us being children of God. It's not in our nature any longer. Verse 7 and 8. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. Because he says the Gnostics, they were deceiving them. They said it doesn't matter how you live. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. Righteousness is just not, it's not just a spiritual state. It should extend into how we live our lives, the choices we make. This is really sobering. This verse passage is really sobering because it's asking the question again, who's your daddy? Because by your behavior, you're revealing who you believe your real daddy is. It's either God of heaven and earth or Satan, the devil. Your actions reveal, our actions reveal who our daddy is. That's really sobering. Who are you acting like? Who do we reflect? Father God or the devil? You know, there's a very popular show that's on Netflix with young people. It's called K-Pop Demon Hunters. I know some of you out there, you love that show. You really like this. It's the, by far, the most popular show on Netflix ever. There's one big issue I have with this show. Because the two main characters, what, Rumi and what's the guy's name? Who's, you know it. I know some of you know it. Anyway, there's, what's that? What? Jinu and Rumi, right? Rumi and Jinu, they're like the two main characters. The big issue I have with this show is that the main characters are either demons or part demon. And in this show, the way they're portrayed, I believe it creates sympathy for demons. You start thinking, oh, they just got a bad situation. Or they grew up bad. There's some good in them. They want to be better. It creates sympathy for demons. That is extremely dangerous. Because if you in your heart entertain sympathy for demons, you create an open door. You create an opening. The devil and demons are absolutely evil. No redeeming qualities in them. Absolutely. And we should have zero sympathy for them. When I was in high school, I remember I heard this, we went to this youth conference thing. I heard this speaker speak. His name was, I still remember his name to this day. That was like 45 years ago. His name was Bill McKee. And I still remember, he shared this story. He talked about a young child that happened to be watching this TV program. And in this TV show, this movie, he saw there was this part of this movie, I don't know if it was with witch doctors or things, but there was this part of this movie where the people and witch doctors, they were walking, they were doing a fire walk. They were walking over hot coals. So this young kid, after seeing that, went in his backyard. He got charcoal for the barbecue. He laid it out. Got some lighter fluid, poured it on the charcoal, and lit it on fire. Then he tried to walk on those burning coals. He was engulfed in flames, burned to a crisp. He died. What do you think the reaction of demons and Satan is to that incident? Laughter. Mocking. Stupid kid. Zero compassion, sympathy, delighting in the destruction, the death of this kid. Sin reflects the nature, the evil of an abusive, malevolent father. When we sin, we reflect him as our false father in that moment. Who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? What does he want for you and your life because he loves you? Our actions matter. The choices we make matter. Verse 9. No one who is born of God practices sin because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. This word cannot, very interesting. This word cannot is the word dunamai, from which we get the word dynamite. So, in other words, it says if you are born of God, it says you, it's translated, you cannot sin, but really it's you have no power any longer to sin. The power of sin has been removed because you are in Jesus. And so now you have the ability to freely choose to live a life of righteousness and purity according to who your daddy is. The power of sin has been neutralized, so we can choose to live pure, just as our Father is pure. I'm going to have someone come up. He's going to share a little testimony about how making some choices in his life has made a huge difference. And so I'm going to invite Cameron Homa.
Thanks, Pastor Perry. All right. Yeah, we'll post a note. Post a note. So I want to share the last 107 days of what I've been going through. So 107 days, I quit drinking, and it's something, oh, thank you. it's something that I've dealt with for over a decade, and it's been up and down. But the last 107 days has been really amazing and eye-opening, stuff that I wouldn't expect to happen. So the reason I stopped, one reason is I had some health problems related to it, and that was made it stop. And then we also had a kind of like a beta group that's going around, and I'm kind of part of it. I'm part of the VBS one, and I was feeling inside that, you know, if I'm going to be doing this, I can't be living my old lifestyle. And so that, with the health, allowed me to be on the team. And let's see. So I've been reading more, and what's funny is usually at night during the weekday, I'll usually be, I guess, not at home, drinking somewhere. And I went to Barnes & Noble instead. This was 2 weeks ago. And when I went to the theology section, there was a book that stood out. It's by J. Warner Wallace called Cold Case Christianity. And if you don't know who he is, he's a cold case detective who's been featured on 60 Minutes. He's written many books. He used to be an atheist, and he wanted to see if the Gospels were real. So he applied his cold case detective skills to it, and he kind of proved why we can believe the Bible is true. And the cool thing about it is I really feel that's going to be our theme for VBS next year. We're going to be using his Cold Case Christianity for Kids book. So I'm really happy about that. Another thing is when Pastor Barry asked me to share last Sunday, I was like, okay, I don't know what to share yet. But the next morning, I turned to my Bible. This was the first verse I read. It was Proverbs 20, verse 1. And it says, "Those led astray by drink cannot be wise." And that's the first thing around Monday. So I said, okay, I guess I'll continue to do this. Another thing that's happened too is my friend started a business. Right now he's the CEO of a credit union, and he started a consulting company, and he asked me to be part of it. I have a lot of free time now. So I said yes, so I'll be doing that on the side, helping them with financial consulting. And this morning something happened too. My friend, we'll call him John, he texted me out of nowhere and said, "Hey, how long are you not drinking for?" And I said, I hope to go to New Year's. And I texted him back, I said, "Why, are you thinking of not?" He goes, "Yeah, I actually don't want to drink for at least a month." And I said, okay, I'll do it with you. So he this morning he decided not to drink until Thanksgiving, and I'll try and force him to do it until Christmas. And then the last thing is, I guess a lot of when I wake up, I have a lot more mental clarity. I have a lot of time to do things. And the first retreat, so I'm going to go back 10 years ago, when I was struggling with alcohol, Uncle Don, he was in my small group, so 10 years ago, and I was talking to him about it, and he said, I just got a vision that of a broken bottle dropping in the middle of the ocean, and it breaks. And he said, one day you won't drink anymore. And I said, back then, 10 years ago, I said, that's cool, but whatever. I was like, I like what I'm doing too much, and it's the cool thing to do, I guess. When I 107 days ago, when I decided, not to, that came into my mind out of nowhere. And then I told Uncle Don, and it was pretty cool just to, 10 years ago, he was able to speak into me, and, I can use that. But I guess I'll end with, to encourage anyone who is struggling with something that, is taking a lot of your time, or, you're feeling that you want to give it up, but you can't, you can come talk to me, and it could be about anything. You can talk to me, and I can help you, try and get through it, because I know it's hard, and some days are good and some days are bad. Most of them are good, but when you do have the down days, it's good to have someone to talk to and be accountable with. So thank you.
I love, appreciate Cameron, because throughout his journey, he's been very transparent and open. He just shares about it. And kind of seeing him on his journey, I know what he shared this morning is just a tip of the iceberg. He's been in some different challenging, going to weddings, going to different things where he's, kept. And it's interesting because along the way, he shared about different ones of his friends that would say at different times, "Yeah, I've thought of stopping drinking too," or "Yeah, I think it's not that good for me," or blah, blah, blah. And he's being a light to his friends because he's making green choices. He's making green choices because what you do, the choices you make, They matter. And the choices you make can reflect to the people around you. Who's your daddy? and who their daddy could be too. Let me just close with verse 10. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. Let me just close with this. Heavy message. What you do matters. But let me just say this to you. Let me just say this. At times, all of us stumble. All of us fall. All of us sin. Some of us struggle with sinful addictions and habits. We're a work in progress. And God knows that. God is our true Father. He's our daddy. And he makes a way for us, even in that. Mainly, I believe he wants us to do our part in taking responsibility for our actions, not making excuses, not blaming other people, not blaming things from our past, but taking responsibility for our actions and our behaviors, and to partner with the Holy Spirit to take steps to address the sin in our lives, to purify ourselves as he is pure, to confess, to repent, and to seek to sin no more. What is one area, one sin that your daddy wants you to address so you could be free from that? Is there some things from your past that you have trouble getting over? Is there some regrets that you have? It matters. It matters. And I'm so thankful to the Lord that he's provided a way. 4 weeks ago, when we started this series, we came across 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What did I call it? The bar of soap for daily cleansing. We're a work in progress. He knows we will stumble and fall at times. He's given us the blood of Jesus that covers and forgives any and every and all sin. And then there's 1 John 2:1. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. You can know your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is right at the side of the Father, advocating for you. When you stumble, and when you fall, and when you sin, he is advocating to the Father for you. If you think you've done bad, things that are too bad to be forgiven, you know what that is? Pride. It's pride. How is that pride? Because you believe the power of your actions and your sin is greater than the power of the precious blood of Jesus. You believe, if you don't think you're forgivable, that your sin is greater than Jesus' blood, and that's pride. How valuable is one drop of blood from God who came to earth to shed his blood for you. What we do matters. God calls us to live a life worthy of being his children. But when we stumble and fall, we have an advocate. We have the blood of Jesus. So you can just get back on your feet and continue to pursuing being like Jesus. Let's bow forward to prayer. Awesome, Lord, awesome. Just awesome, awesome. Awesome are you, awesome are your ways, awesome are what you have done for us. That we shall be called children of God, because that's who we are. How great a love have you poured out and gifted us in your Son. Thank you that we have a hope, a future, a destiny, an identity. Thank you, Lord, that one day when we see Jesus face to face, we will be transformed into his very likeness. Lord, help us to understand you're our daddy. Help us to understand, Lord, what we do matter, what we do matters, and help us to understand you're with us, you're by us, you've disarmed the power of sin so we could experience now the life of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In your name, amen. Let's worship our daddy. Let's worship our